Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's the Monday edition, which means we've had a whole weekend of stories that have popped up. We start with the good, so we get the good of the day. What is it, Mr. Culver?
I had thought about jumping into soccer for you.
Because that's where you tend to go.
I tend to go there sometimes. You know, I was going to talk about Manchester United making the Champions League, or the fact that local team here in Houston, Houston Dash, winning the NWSL. Well, I guess I did throw those in there anyways.
Wait, the NWSL had its championship?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Congratulations to the Dash.
I don't know if it's a championship. They finished their tournament.
Okay.
And we have to give them credit where credit's due, because they were the first professional sports back.
Right.
Back in end of June, I guess.
Okay.
In Salt Lake City.
That's right, they were.
But the Houston Dash won it all. But really what I want to talk about is my Dodgers.
All right, let's go.
Will Smith decapitated a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, how great is this?
What was that, Saturday night?
How?
But what I love most, okay, first of all, you know, just so you guys aren't worried, he didn't really kill someone. He hit a home run. It hit one of the cardboard cutouts that's in the outfield, and it literally snapped the head back. Broke the neck of a fan.
Does he get the ball?
Well, that's what he's wondering. And I thought, you know, this is a great marketing opportunity for all of MLB.
Right. Why wouldn't you give the fan whose picture it is the ball?
If you hit, what it reminds me of is Bull Durham. If you hit the cow,
right,
you get a free steak.
Yeah,
if you hit the grass, you get salad.
Yeah. I think if you're a cutout and you get a home run, you should get a prize pack. Not just the ball, but a little prize pack.
Right, because, I mean, how that's not going to happen often.
Why can't these teams make T-shirts or other gear that kind of talks about the COVID, makes a little fun of it, you know, just something for history's sake. So, like, you know, I caught the ball and have your cutout with the broken into pieces. Yeah, I mean, something. I don't know. I mean, let the marketing departments figure that out. But do a little COVID-19 prize pack for the fan who gets hit.
See, I'm going to take it a step further. I want to see more creativity out of these boards now, out of these cardboard cutouts. I mean, I'm still not a fan of them. It's still hard to get used to. It's just weird. I mean, you know, I think I'd rather see an empty stadium. But if we're going to have cardboard cutouts, I want some creativity now. Somebody's got to put, you know, like have a shirt on with the big old target on it.
Yeah, right.
And say, hit it here.
Exactly. So I think it's a good idea for baseball. Look, we're all going to embrace this, right? We're all going to look at this differently. No fans. This, how different. Let's have some fun with it. Why not?
We're going to get used to it.
They're going to get used to it.
I mean,
exactly.
After 2 months, we won't even notice. I mean, after a weekend of baseball, there were times I didn't even notice that there weren't any fans.
Oh, God, no.
You kind of just get sucked into the game, and it isn't really until they hit a foul ball, and you're like, God, no one is running after that ball.
Exactly, right? There's nobody who's like, oh, in the seats, and there's a fan. Rolling over to get that. You know,
like, I saw one. It cracked me up. I saw a foul ball, went down the first baseline, and went foul, obviously. There were two the grounds crew guys, or whatever they are. They're the guys who jump out and grab the foul ball when it's in foul territory so the outfielders don't have to run over and grab it. The foul ball ended up behind them. They just kind of looked to see where it landed, and neither one of them moved.
Yeah.
They just right. left it there. And I'm like, man, that will take some getting used to, because usually you have, you know, a 30-year-old adult punching a kid for a foul ball.
Here's a quick question. Important home run balls that are hit during COVID, are they more valuable on the baseball market?
I would say yeah, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
it would be easier to get. I mean, well,
right. Well, maybe not.
Probably go right to the athlete.
Like, let's say the Rays beat the Yankees in a playoff series, and Kevin Kiermaier hits the game-winning walk-off home run to an empty Tropicana field. Does somebody want that ball? I know I use the Rays, and they're not like a screaming fan base, but would somebody want that ball and pay money for it?
All right, for example, Miguel Cabrera.
Okay.
All right. He, I don't know if he's hit, I don't know when this list was updated last, but he is currently at 477 in home runs.
Now that's even a better one. right?
Now, in a shortened season, that might be kind of tough for him to get to, what, get 23 more?
Okay, but let's say he does.
Let's say he does.
Does the fact that it's COVID and it's a special weird year, does that make that ball more valuable in the baseball auction market?
It just might.
It might. There's some special circumstances to the baseball season.
Or actually, here's one. When Albert Pujols.
He needs
four more home runs to pass Willie Mays.
That's right. So this is really going to be
that one. That one really can happen.
That's even better. That's even better. That's kind of the example.
Yeah, that one. That actually means something, right?
Look at the difference between you and I on that example. You found Albert Pujols needing four home runs to be historically even more significant than he already is. I went Kevin Kiermaier hitting a home run for the Rays.
Well, you know, everyone wants to see
different circumstances.
Everybody wants to see Kevin Kiermaier.
Right, exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, kind of tough. We do have to bring it up, but Regis Philbin passed away.
Oh, I know.
At the age of 88.
This is so sad. Oh.
That one kind of, I didn't even know if he was sick or something, you know. And what I hate still is when you see a celebrity death, the first thing you look for was like, hey, was it Corona?
That's true. That is true.
We're still doing it. Yeah, after all this time, true. We're still doing it.
But Regis was a one-of-a-kind television personality.
He was. 60-year
really
career.
Yeah, he was. His array of talent that he had hosting different things and different sort of, what do you call them, shows, right? Whether it's a game show or a talk show or a different kind of shows, it really unparalleled. The fact that you could stay relevant in this industry for 60 years, to have people still want to listen to what you have to say or how you do things is very, very impressive. He deserved every accolade that came his way this weekend from everyone across the media world, and even fans who just enjoyed him, watching him with Kathy Lee back in the day and Kelly, and then Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and all of the different things he's done over his
and then
career.
just appearing out of nowhere, and always you know, like a lot of times he'd be in a sitcom, but he'd always be playing himself.
That's right.
And I mean, he was he's an icon. What he reminds me of is he might be like one of the last guys that you can trace back to like the Rat Pack days.
Right.
I mean, I know he wasn't part of the Rat Pack, but he was part of that genre.
Part of that era, right? I mean, part of the era of being in television when it's, you know, really moving and taking off across the country and becoming a staple in everybody's life. He had a great career, and you're right, it was sad. And it came out, like you said, it came out of nowhere. There wasn't like a report that he was ill or he was in, you know, a little bit of a health trouble or whatever. Just you wake up and there it is.
I think also part of the problem was I didn't realize he was that old.
Oh, 88. That's the other thing. Right?
88's a good life, but he always seemed much younger than that.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, 100% correct. 100% correct. I never could peg him what age he was. So that's a good point. Yeah, it was kind of sad. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
Well, I was going to say this guy is back, but it's probably a situation where he actually has never left us.
Which is?
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball is back.
Yes.
Well, we never really left. You're right.
He never really left. He kind of disappears from time to time.
Right.
Let's go in the Wayback Machine back to when Lonzo Ball was breaking into the NBA, and he compared Lonzo to Magic Johnson.
Yep, I remember that.
Right. Well, now he's comparing his son LaMelo to Michael Jordan.
That's
just going
better.
Right after the GOAT.
Well, might as well, right? If you're all in, be all in. Do not dance around the comparison. Just jump in and make it, and let the chips fall where they lie. LeVar, way to go.
How often do you think Lonzo talks to LaMelo and just says, "Listen, just keep your head down.
Just roll with it.
It's going to happen no matter what." He's just going to keep talking all this because he's already came out and said like he doesn't want LaMelo to play with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because, LaMelo's not a follower.
He's not a follower, right, on that team. Yeah, exactly. Don't listen to dad. Don't talk to him about it. He's never going to change. Just roll with it and do your own thing. And eventually you can just separate yourself from him and just be your own man in this league. Exactly. You know what? I remember saying this, man. He's bragged about his kids, but he could have three in the NBA, which
he
is
could.
Amazing.
He
absolutely
could.
Absolutely amazing.
You know, I mean, but basically he is P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, that is true. He
of
is.
The NBA.
But let me ask you this. Do you have to be P.T. Barnum if you want to Do you have to do this if you want to make your a name for you and your brand and your kids? Do you have to do this rather than being the quiet parents that go, "We're just so blessed to have kids to be able to pursue their dreams, and we always told them if you work hard, good things will come." Or if you want to make you know, your presence felt, do you have to do these?
Well, there's two rules, right? I mean, you have LeVar Ball, who, you know, like you said, through it all, he could have three sons in the NBA.
Right.
Or you can be the Holiday family, who do have three sons in the NBA. And I have no idea who their parents are.
That's exactly right. And here's the other part of it, right? This is the thing. Why can't you just love the fact that somehow, some way, the universe has blessed you with three children that have gone on to the NBA? You can't just live with that. You have to make awful comparisons and put pressure on them and make people laugh at them and make people think you're crazy, and then in a way take it out on the kids, right? I mean, you know, Lonzo Ball is a great guy. He doesn't need that nonsense. LaMelo is, I'm sure, I don't know him personally, and I've never seen him in an interview or any of this. I'm sure he's a cool guy, but they don't need their dad's nonsense hanging over their heads and having people come after them because of the craziness of their dad.
I mean, it just be excited. For the Holiday family, I mean, when you make if you make a professional sports team, you're literally like in the top 1%.
Absolutely. Even maybe less than that. It's so funny. You can go to AAU tournaments at various parts around the country, watch the whole thing, and not one kid ever makes it to the NBA. You can see really good talent, and not one of them will get picked up in the NBA, right? And he's going to have three kids in the league? It's one of the hardest sporting leagues to get into, given the roster size.
But now that we expanded it to global,
yeah.
The draft is
two rounds. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Right? And some of the guys in the second round don't make the team. They got to go to the G League or whatever. I mean, give me a break. This guy's got it's not even close to good enough for him. He's got to make these stupid comparisons and make people go crazy. You're right. He can't help himself.
So now we have Magic Johnson in the league again, and we're going to have Michael Jordan back in the league soon.
That's right.
I'm just wondering who Jello's going to be. I guess Jello will be LeBron, right?
Jello will be LeBron. He's saving LeBron for the next one that comes around. Why not? Right? Hit the trifecta if you can. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. The Monday edition as we continue on the Sports Map Radio Network.